Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Coming up on Thursday, August 16th at the Copper Country Mental Health Institute is a program that's called When Your Heart is Broken, Your Head Doesn't Work Right. My head doesn't work right on a normal basis. You're joining me to talk about this subject is a couple of experts in this field. We have Steve Moeller, who is from the Grief Recovery Institute. He'll be the keynote speaker at this event. And Barbara Kendall is also here from the Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We had this talk about a year ago, I think, when you had this program coming up, or a different program, similar topic, at least dealing with grief and how we cope with that. But this one's a little bit different. I like the title. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Well, quite frankly, I thought the title was right on target. I was talking with Nancy Wakeman, who's also a member of the coalition, earlier this year, and we were going over different options for titles, and she kind of came up with this, and I thought, that speaks so clearly to the truth about grief that people don't think about. We spend most of our time being so in our head and so logical and everything else, and then when you're dealing with grief, that's the one time when logic goes out the window, because you're dealing with emotion, not logic. And emotions are hardly logical.
Right. And dealing with grief is not necessarily being sad. I mean, you certainly are sad when you're grieving. But I think that oversimplifies it. There's a lot more going on with your body when you're grieving other than just that you feel sad.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there was a medical study done many years ago that discovered that when you're dealing with a stressful moment in your life or a stressful time, and what's more stressful than grief, than any kind of loss, that your body just does not produce white blood cells at the same rate that it normally does. And it's those white blood cells that fight disease. So you can be prone to sickness and other things at the same time you're dealing with grief. And again, when you're grieving, you don't feel like eating, or you feel like eating all the time. It's one of those things that you're so out of sync that grief impacts not only your emotions, but the rest of your physical well-being, because it's a time when you're truly lost.
And we're going to continue talking a little bit more about that subject, but first I want to also bring Barbara in here and ask you about why do you feel this topic was important to be able to bring to the people here?
Well, the history of the Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement is to bring timely topics about coping with grief and understanding grief to our community. And we've talked for many years, haven't we, Rick,
yep,
about all of the programs that we've brought. Now, last year we brought Steve up for this program, and the response was tremendous. 75 people came on a very rainy night, and Steve said after that he had such a good feeling about it, he'd certainly like to come back. Well, the coalition certainly grabbed that chance, and here he is again to present another program. But the coalition is committed to the community, and through the years, there have been workshops, there have been us producing literature to people about specifically coping during the holidays, or many, many events. And if you remember, Rick, we've been here for over 20 years, and what other nonprofit organization that really looks for volunteers to do the work has been around that long?
Well, it's difficult, yeah, to keep something like that going. And mm-hmm. You're not going to have any shortage of people experiencing grief, yeah, in any given year. So you will always have, you know, that, you know, base to minister to. Mm-hmm. So this is offered for free for,
yes,
people to be able to come to this. And again, it's at the Copper Country Mental Health Institute that's in Houghton on Sharon Avenue, taking place August 16th on this Thursday coming up. It'll be at 6:30 p.m. And so no cost to attend. Who makes it possible?
That's a great question. I'm glad you brought it up, because this year we received a grant from the Portage Hospital Auxiliary, and they were very excited about giving us this opportunity and helping to pay for it. So this year we're going to be able to pay Steve. He came for free last year, but we're going to be able to give him a stipend this year and pay for more publicity. So yes, we're very grateful to the Portage Auxiliary this year.
Now, it's a two-hour program. Are we going to be listening to Steve for 2 hours, or do you have some other things going on?
Well, if we can shut him up, I think. No, he's going to speak for about an hour or maybe a little bit more. But the value of this program are people's questions and people connecting with Steve. So with that bigger group, it's kind of a challenge. But Steve can manage it. He managed it so well last year.
A program like this, if you're somebody that has experienced grief and it's been close to home, you already know what we're talking about because nobody has to explain what you experience when you're suffering from grief. But that doesn't mean, you know, don't come, because you can learn coping mechanisms. But also, if you know you're not that person, what I would like to say is I'd like other people around me to know how to deal with me when I am grieving. Because, you know, from personal experiences of going through losses in my own family, I found that people that, you know, I'm close to or see even on a daily basis, they didn't know how to respond to me. And, you know, you go through ups and downs, and you have good days, you have bad days. Your personality is affected. The way that you respond to other people changes. And you know that you're sending the wrong signals, but you can't really do anything about it. You want somebody perhaps to help, to comfort you, but yet everything you send out is leave me alone, because you can't seem to send those six signals out correctly, because as your title is, your head isn't working right.
Exactly. And one of the problems is that growing up, most of us don't really get any tools on how to deal with grief in our lives, let alone any tools on how to help other people. And at the Grief Recovery Institute, and I just want to mention that this, while the Institute is located in the United States, we have branches all over the world, and we have people that use the same materials that I use in this program literally on every continent except one, and that's Antarctica. We do not run any groups there at this point, but every other continent has grief recovery professionals using the same kind of materials I use. But we did a study one time, and we found that we interviewed 2,000 people that had very recently had a loss, and we asked them, what is it that you really most want to talk about? And 95% of those people wanted to talk about what happened, wanted to share how this was impacting their heart. And then we did another survey with people that had not had a recognizable loss in a minimum of 2 years. And we said, how can you help somebody that's dealing with grief in their life? 98% of those people said, well, for goodness sakes, don't bring up what happened. It's only going to upset them. So this is one of those problems with communication. People don't know what to say to somebody that's grieving, and mostly you don't have to say a lot. You just have to offer to listen without analysis, criticism, or judgment. Recognize when someone's talking with you about the pain in your heart, no matter what you say, you can't fix it, because grief can't be fixed. But grievers need someone to listen to them and let them pour out their feelings safely without anybody trying to fix them, because that's part of that process. And I think one other thing we often forget is that grief comes in lots of packages. It's very easy to identify that grief is a reaction to a death or a loss, such as that. But every major change in your life brings with it elements of grief. And so, you know, this last June, these floods that hit this area with that horrific rainstorm, anybody that was impacted by that is a griever. Kids, when they leave one school to go to another, or when they move, they're grieving. When a relationship breaks up, that is a grieving experience. When the dog dies, that's a grieving experience. And the most common reaction you get to that is, well, we need to get you a new dog. But you can't begin a new relationship until you've taken care of all the unfinished business in that relationship lost. We don't have tools to deal with grief, and that's where I think a program like this can be helpful, because certainly for some people, they're going to come and find out, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy after all. I don't think my head's working right, and it's not because there's something wrong with me. It's because that's a normal response to loss. But I think that other people can come and get maybe a few tools to help them better communicate and support their friends when they're going through whatever loss they've experienced, whether it's a death or any other kind of major change in their life experience. Hmm.
To touch on what you said about, you know, people not wanting to bring it up, if you've suffered a loss, you're not forgetting. So there, you know, when you say, well, I don't want to bring it up because I don't want to remind them. Well, you haven't forgotten. So, you know, you're not reminding that person of anything. You know, they're thinking about it, you know, almost every moment of the day. What you may be showing is that you have compassion for that individual, that we know what they are suffering. But the most perplexing question I think we can ever ask somebody is, how are you? Because, you know, how do you answer that question truthfully when, you know, the truth is either a long or a difficult answer? And then asking that question, do you really want to know? Because, you know, if we're walking by and, you know, past each other and I say, hey, how are you doing? Well, if you have more than a one-word answer to that question, you know, oftentimes I'm like, well, I don't really have time to hear how you're doing. And if you know that that person's not doing well, you know, you might be opening the floodgates. So it becomes a difficult interaction, you know, taking something that is common, you know, hey, how are you doing? Well, if you really want to know, I'll tell you.
Well, and it's become kind of a throwaway thing. When you ask somebody, how are you doing, you really don't expect or pay attention to the answer. Often, that's often the case. And most people will say their easy response is fine. And I always tell people, fine is how you grate your cheese. It has nothing to do with how you feel. Probably the best definition that I've heard of fine is it stands for feelings inside not expressed. And so whenever anybody tells me they're fine, I say, okay, now tell me the truth. Because I really want to know. I mean, it's not just because that is my job. And for heaven's sakes, I hope you understand, whether they could have paid me a penny or not, I would still be here. I have lifelong ties to Copper Country. So this is like home for me. But if you ask somebody how they're feeling, expect to get an answer. And I always tell people, tell the truth. Because the worst that can happen is if you say, oh, today has really been bad, the other person might say, me too, and keep walking because they weren't paying attention. Or they might say, really? Ooh, but did you hear about John and Mary down the street? They're going through a divorce. Because I can talk about feelings of people that are not present. And occasionally you'll get somebody that says, really? Well, what's the matter? And those are the people that are your good friends. And hopefully they'll listen without trying to fix it, because they can't fix it.
Right. Or they do the, you think you got it bad? Well, let me tell you how bad I've got it, or somebody that I know. That's why it's a very perplexing question.
Well, when you say it that way, it reminds me of that story. I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man with no feet. Mm-hmm. Well, if you go through that natural progression of that, there's only one person in the world that can cry, because that's the person with the most horrible situation possible. But I'm sorry, we all grieve at 100% for whatever our loss is. And comparing them doesn't solve anything, doesn't make anything better. It just makes it feel like your loss has been discounted when somebody says that, oh, I've got a better story than that. And I'm a firm believer, give everybody the chance to express what they need to say about theirs. And never compare losses, because that doesn't solve anything.
If you can't quantify grief, you know, it's not who you lost or how you lost them. You know, I never had a relationship with either set of my grandparents. And so when people lose a grandparent, it's hard for me to relate, because I remember when my grandmother passed, and I don't know if I'd spoken much to her. My dad and her had a falling out, and so when she passed, it was like somebody told me a fact. Like, oh, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. Other people that I know, when they lose a grandmother, it is devastating.
Yeah.
And I can't relate. But I can relate for other forms of grief. I mean, having lost a child, I've had people tell me, oh, you're in the club now.
And that's not a club anybody wants to be in.
No, but I've been told that is, you know, when you're somebody that has lost a child, that is a special kind of grief. Again, it's not worse or better than any other kind, but only those that understand what it is like to lose a child know what that feeling is like.
Yeah.
And so going back to, because I don't want to get too far off the topic.
But this brings up something really, really important, and perhaps one of the best things I can share in just the short time we have together. And when somebody talks about their loss, even if you've experienced a similar loss, about the worst thing you can say to that person is, I know how you feel. because they have a sense of what they felt like when they had that loss. But nobody ever knows how anybody else feels. And I remember when my dad died, I had somebody that came up and said that to me. And it was about the 15th person that said, I know how you feel. And I almost lost it because I wasn't sure how I was feeling. How could this person know how I felt? They didn't want to hear me talk about how I felt. They just wanted to easily move on and say, oh, I know how you feel. And that person I knew had not lost a parent either. So never tell somebody, I know how you feel. You can say, gosh, I can remember what that was like when I had a loss like that. But then turn it back to them. But what's going on in your heart right now? Tell me how you're feeling. Because, again, that gets them to start expressing those emotions that they're trying to suppress. Because that's one of the things we're taught from childhood, is you don't share your sadness with other people. My mom's favorite expression was, laugh and the world laughs with you, cry and you cry alone. Mm-hmm. And the impact of that was that you should never let other people see you cry. But the reality is, that's part of who we are. That's a way that we express those feelings. Instead, though, we keep suppressing them. When you talk about feeling bad about this, about whatever loss you've experienced, people often come up and say, oh, you shouldn't feel bad because. Now, when my dad died, they said, oh, but, you know, he's in a better place. Yeah, I believe that. I mean, that is my faith that tells me that. But by the same token, I wasn't. I had to deal with my mother every day who had Alzheimer's and kept asking where Dad was. That did not make my place feel any better. I knew he was better off, but I was stuck here. And so the best thing is, don't try and fix it, like I said. I keep throwing that in, but I think that's a key bit of advice, too.
Great.
Yeah, we're not trying to ignore you, Barbara.
That's all right. Gentlemen are making some wonderful points, and one of the points I want to make based on your discussion is not only people who are grieving should come to our presentation, but people who know other people, their loved ones. We need therapists, counselors to come. We need faith community representatives to come, too, pastors and lay people in churches, and home health caregivers, and anyone else who's interested. So this is going to attract a variety of people coming.
Well, and the thing is, so often when we do a program like this, and I've been doing programs like this for 30-some years, working in the grieving community as a specialist, and just because you don't need it today doesn't mean that tomorrow it might not be darn good information to have in hand, because sadly, grief rarely sends you a message on such and such a date at such and such a time, you're going to be grieving something. It sneaks up on us. It pounces on us at the worst times in our lives. And if you have some tools that maybe you took on mostly to help other people, they're going to help you when you need them the most.
All right. And I agree with Barbara then, too, is, you know, the other people who maybe you're not the one experiencing, but then it can help you help other people. I lost count of the amount of condolences I got, or people told me how sorry they are when my son and my, you know, 2 months' time, I lost my mother and my dog and my son. It was, you know, how did anybody get through a time like that? And I had a lot of people say, you know, that they expressed their sympathies, which is nice. I mean, you want people to acknowledge it. There can be a limit to that, I guess, too. But the one I remember, the one that sticks out was I had a guy tell me, I don't know what to say to you. So I just want you to know, you know, I'm, you know, and really that was pretty much the comment. You know, as I stuttered through it, it was, you told me, I don't know what to say, because how more honest do you get? You know, he knows. Yeah. and there's nothing a person can say. You know, and really, if there was, you know, a magic sentence that you could say to somebody, and then all of a sudden they feel, oh, thanks so much, I didn't think about that. You're right. Time heals all wounds. You know, that kind of thing. You know, I feel much better now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there
and
is.
I'm sorry.
You know, but yeah. So that person who was honest to say, you know, as we were standing there, say, you know, that they want to say something, but they have no idea what to say. I took as the most sincere response that I got during that whole time, because it was honest. Yeah, person, I wouldn't know what to say. What do you say to somebody that, you know, have just experienced something that is unimaginable like that? And it was the honesty.
Yeah. And just recognizing that there was no perfect answer. There was no perfect thing to say that's going to make you feel better. I mean, just telling you the truth about what they were feeling, which was, I'm lost. That is a gift. And I'm glad you had somebody like that that came up. Sometimes I think we don't need people to talk to us or try and fix us, so we could just use a good hug. And I mean, when I say a hug, not somebody that comes up and slaps you on the back and burps you, because most of us are old enough we don't need to be burped anymore, but just a heartfelt hug.
Mm. Now, let's get back also when we talk about our subject here for about how your head doesn't work right. Can you explain how that manifests itself when we talk about your head doesn't work right for both the person experiencing and those that are around them? What do you mean when your head doesn't work right?
Well, I think it's because you've got so much going on. It's kind of like being in the eye of a hurricane. Everything's swirling around you. It's hard to stay focused. It's hard to concentrate. A friend of mine years ago was going through a divorce, and it was not something that he wanted. I mean, this was sprung on him. And he said he'd gone to a major discount store. I'm not going to give names since we're not promoting businesses here, to buy a gift for his child. And he said he pulled into the parking lot and he drove around. He just couldn't even figure out where to park, and he finally gave up and left. Because that's an example of your head not working right. Picking a parking spot isn't that hard. But when you have that lack of focus, because you just, there's, your mind is such a jumble of thoughts, even making simple decisions gets difficult. One question I often ask when I'm with grievers is, how many of you have gone into the kitchen, and when you got there, or whatever room, couldn't remember why you went? And a lot of hands go up. I mean, that's just a simple manifestation of the fact that we're not thinking with clarity of mind, that we're out of focus. And so making decisions gets very difficult. I've known people that after a loss decided the best thing to do was just clear out everything from the house that reminded them of that person. And then later on, they're just kicking themselves because they want those mementos. Those are meaningful to them. And it was a spur of the moment decision that was not a brilliant one. Their head was not working right. Or they make poor choices and investments, or any number of things. Move. All kinds of things like that. We can't run away from grief. Grief has a tendency to be sitting on our shoulder at all times. It's the one familiar face in the rearview mirror of your car that's always looking over your shoulder and haunting you if you don't take action. And I think that's a key thing to point out to people, that grief is not something that has to control and ruin your life forever. It will, as long as you do not take action. You may be dulled to it after time, but it takes away from your happiness, your chance to enjoy those fond memories that you have of that person or that event or whatever it is that you're grieving. But you can take action to deal with that emotional pain so you can enjoy your memories and you can enjoy those happy thoughts that come to mind. So often for grievers, probably the best story I can tell is you're walking down the street and you see a flower garden. And you're looking at that thinking, wow, that reminds me of the gardens my mom planted. My mom was a big gardener. But now I'm looking at that garden and thinking, oh, I want to tell mom about it, but I can't because she died. And the last time she planted a garden, in fact, I don't know if I ever told her how pretty her gardens were because I took them for granted. And we were going to do this, and we were going to do that, or we were going to talk about this, or we fought about that. And now that flower garden that took me back to a really fond place in my heart with my mother has deteriorated down to a lot of woulda, shoulda, couldas that are now tugging at my heart instead of the joy that seeing that garden brought to my mind of my mom. And that happens with lots of us in one way or another, that reminders of that person or whatever the loss was can start out very happy and then take us down into the rabbit hole. Taking grief recovery action of some kind to deal with the unfinished business in the relationship gives you a chance to enjoy those fond memories and face a future that's maybe not the future you planned, but still face it with looking forward to it as opposed to dreading each coming day.
The event is called When Your Heart is Broken, Your Head Doesn't Work Right. It's going to be at the Copper Country Mental Health Institute on Sharon Avenue in Houghton on Thursday, August 16th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. It's being put on by the Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement with funding provided by the Portage Health Auxiliary. I've been talking today with Barbara Kendall from the Coalition, also Steve Moeller, who is the keynote speaker. If you've been enjoying this conversation like I have, I encourage you to attend this program, and you know, you'll talk for about an hour. It will seem like 5 minutes because he's so interesting. I've enjoyed it. And you also have a chance to ask questions, and this is all for free to attend. So I encourage people to check that out. Thanks so much. We are out of time. I appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on.
Boy, this time went quick, too.
It sure does. Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.